There were times that even Jesus, so Jesus is our example, right? Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus came and he lived among us and he walked among us and he taught us and a lot of things. And he gave us this perfect example to follow. But even Jesus Christ got ticked off on occasion. As a matter of fact, I went back and I kind of searched the Gospels and I came up with six times and six different instances where Jesus got kind of ticked off. You go ahead and go to the next slide if you want. And the first one is hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. There was a time when it's a Sabbath day and Jesus shows up and there's somebody there and he's in need of healing. And of course the Pharisees are there and they're like, is he gonna do a good work on the Sabbath? Is he gonna perform work on the Sabbath or is he not? And Jesus gets into this dialogue with them, and of course Jesus heals the man and he comes under criticism for doing that on the Sabbath, and then he gets angry. Jesus has one of those how dare you moments. How dare you ignore the need of this man in the name of being legalistic, in the name of trying to ignore, you know, the forest for the trees. Hard-heartedness. Second time I see Jesus get seriously ticked off is when he encounters hypocrisy. Jesus tells people, how can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a plank in your own? He also says later, let you who are without sin cast the first stone, right? Hypocrisy. It's probably the number one reason we hear from people they don't go to church or they don't want to be one of those there Christian people, because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. Yeah. Hypocrisy. Jesus got mad when he encountered hypocrisy. He wants us to first examine ourselves. Examine our own lives, examine our own deal, and then he wants us to deal with other people graciously. Grace is one of those things, it's unmerited favor, right? And so grace is one of those things that we need. We need it like we need air. But the Bible tells us that if we receive grace, we are mandated to give grace. It should work like that. It should be just like this, almost like a fan where the grace comes in and the grace goes back out. But it doesn't always work like that. And unfortunately, it comes out sometimes as hypocrisy. Jesus didn't like that. The third one we see is greed. Now, this is probably the most famous example of Jesus getting seriously ticked off. Jesus goes into the temple, and what does he see? He sees people in the temple courts. They're changing money. They're selling stuff. They're trying to make a profit, and he doesn't like it. And what does he do? We probably see the closest thing to rage that we ever see from Jesus. It's probably the closest thing to a rage room incident where Jesus literally goes in and he starts turning over their tables. And they've got animals in there, and he's whipping the animals to make them run away. And you see this incident where Jesus encounters greed. He encounters people that are using faith or using religion just for their own gain, and he doesn't like it. That's another thing that's kept people from the church too, huh? How many times have you ever met somebody who said, all they care about is my money? They just want my money and the offering plate. They don't care about me. And unfortunately, that's been true at times. And unfortunately, that's hurt people. And unfortunately, that's hurt the kingdom. Jesus doesn't like greed. Fourth, lukewarm living. Jesus got mad when people were straddling the fence. You know, the Bible says, be cold, be hot, but don't be lukewarm. It goes so far as to talk about spewing lukewarm people, you know, out. Not good to be lukewarm. Not good to live a middle-of-the-road faith, even though that's what our culture wants. Middle-of-the-road. It's not rock the boat. Don't be this or be that, you know, whatever. Just kind of go down the middle. Jesus doesn't like that. He compares it to stagnant water. What happens with stagnant water? It gets pretty nasty after a while, doesn't it? Begins to attract mosquitoes and everything else, and it's not useful any longer. It's lost all of its usefulness. Jesus got mad in the face of lukewarm living. Fifthly, superiority. You got to look no further than our old friends the Pharisees for that. They keep popping up, nipping at Jesus' heels time and time again. Jesus said, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. Superiority. People who think they're too good. You know people like that? You ever encountered somebody like that at the church? I'm too good to do that. The example of Jesus was an example of servant leadership. They want to know, you know, how do you become great? How do you get a favored place in heaven? And Jesus says what? He says, whoever will be great among you, he must be your servant. The Bible says the last will be first, and the first will be last. The example of Jesus is an example of humility, of kindness, of compassion, not superiority. Jesus didn't like that. And the final scene I can find where I find Jesus getting irritated is when Jesus encountered spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. Now, if you remember just a few weeks ago, our scripture lesson, we see Jesus performing a miracle, and he says, don't tell anybody. Well, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, and vice versa. Bible talks about praying in secret. Why is that? Because we all know when it's for show and when it's for real. We all know that when somebody out there, they're trying to do something only to get their name in the paper or their face on the news or to get something shared on the internet. Their heart's really not in it. They just want the picture of the giant check, you know, that they're presenting somewhere, you know. I'm talking about the 6-foot-long checks. Spiritual pride. Self-righteousness closes the flow of kingdom power through your life. It chokes it off. So instead, we have to be humble. So yes, friends, there were times, the Bible says be slow to anger, but there were times where even Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect and sinless life, he got ticked off, and rightfully so. But be careful. It's okay to get angry, but the scripture today says, don't give the devil a foothold. There are things in our lives that, you know, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit at baptism, but there could be chinks in the armor. There are things that we can do sometimes that allow the devil to get a foothold in our lives. It allows just that little bit, and sometimes that's all it takes, to begin a cascading effect of very bad and very negative things that attack our very spirit. So you got to be careful. You can't get angry to the extent that you allow the devil to get a foothold. Because why? Anger can lead to hate, and hate is the opposite of love. Paul gives us a secret. It was in last week's scripture lesson. Paul said, speak the truth what? In love. Speak the truth in love. Why? Because there's power in it. And why? The Bible says what? Love never fails. If love is the plan, if love is the subject, then the predicate will always be okay. When you start from a place of love, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yes, preacher, but you ever heard the old phrase, no good deed goes unpunished? Have you? Have you ever tried to do the right thing? Have you ever tried to approach something, a situation in love, only to have somebody smack you in the face or come down on you in a way that isn't justified. Yes, if I'm being perfectly honest, the footnote to what I just said, that is true, but love never fails. In the end, we know what wins and what doesn't win. Love will win. You'll never go wrong by approaching a situation in love. You'll never go wrong by not allowing your anger to turn into hate. You'll never go wrong by remembering that I make a choice. In my anger, I'm not going to allow the devil to get a foothold in my life. I'm not going to go down that path. You'll never go wrong that way. But sometimes the results are not always instant. Sometimes even when you speak the truth in love, even when you approach people in love or a situation in love, don't be surprised if it doesn't always immediately result in love coming right back at you. But you'll please the Father above, and it will come back. It will work out eventually. And finally, then you got to get over it. So you can get angry. You're going to get angry. You've gotten angry before. When you get angry, you're going to remember to be careful in your anger, not to let your anger turn into rage or hate or bitterness or anything that's going to give the devil a foothold in your life. And then what you have to do is you have to get over it. Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, in those six instances of Jesus being angry that I cited a few minutes ago, I invite you to search your scriptures and find where Jesus was still angry. Find me a situation the Bible goes on for 16 chapters of Jesus just brooding over those Pharisees or whatever the situation was he got angry over. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. So what we have to do is we have to get over it. We can't let it harbor. We can't let it stay with us. And that might be busting stuff up with a baseball bat. But it's really just about venting. Right? When something is building up inside of us or inside of anything, what happens if it doesn't vent? An explosion. Maybe you've been the person who's exploded at some point in your life. You're probably not proud of that, or maybe you've been around somebody who's exploded, but a venting, and for some people that needs to take on a very physical sort of thing, maybe. For other people, it might be taking a walk or being by themselves, or for other people, it might be playing around the golf. Whatever it is, you know what it is for you. But you have to get over it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. At the end of today's scripture lesson, Paul reminds us that it all comes back to love. Bible says love, real love, keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love wipes the slate clean. Love doesn't keep a little book in its back pocket just to bring it up 20 years from now, the 50 things I hate about you or that you ever did. That's not love. The Bible says that the person, the character, the nature of God is love. That's who God is. Sometimes it sounds like a broken record in these sermons. We always seem to find our way back to love. Why? Because God is love. The Bible says all love comes from God. Our capacity to love and to be loved is a gift from God. When we approach people in circumstances and situations in love, we approach them in a godly fashion because God is present in our love. So be angry if you have to be angry. But create in your head a circuit breaker that says, in my anger, I'm not going to let it get the best of me. I'm not going to give the devil a foothold. I'm going to remember that my calling is to speak the truth in love, to be an ambassador for love and reconciliation in the world. I'm going to do my best to get over it. I'm going to do my best to keep no record of wrongs. I'm going to try to vent it however I can vent it in a healthy way. And I'm going to get up tomorrow morning not letting the sun go down on my anger, and I'm going to live another day. And I commit that message to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ's invitation to you, to all of us, is come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, who are burdened, who are distressed, who are angry, and I will give you rest. There's peace in Jesus. The peace you've been looking for is no further than the cross. So today, if you would like to come and to pray with me or to pray by yourself, if you'd like to make a profession of faith, if you'd like to become a citizen of this faith community, any of that, the altar is open to you. The altar is open to all. We invite you now to please stand as we sing our final song.